Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God and Heavenly Father, may the words that I speak and the words heard today give only you honor and glory. And may the narrow door be open to us. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
That's probably the best part of the sermon.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm not saying anything about that.
Oh, you weren't so? Okay.
No, I'm leaving that alone. Okay. So I usually start out with a humorous story, but maybe we've had enough laughter, so I'm not so sure if this story is funny or not, but it may be true. I can't tell you where I found it. It was in the notes on my Apple phone. Now, how it got there, only God knows. But I thought I'd use it this morning to see how it plays. I mean, how it goes over. So a boy asked his dad, "What is the size of God?" Then the father looked up in the sky and saw a plane and asked his son, "What size is that plane?" "It's small. I can barely see it," said the son. Then the father took his son to an airport. "Now, my son, how big is that plane?" "Oh," the boy replied, "oh, Dad, it's huge." Then his father told him, "God is the size depending upon how close you are to him or how far away you are from him. The closer you are to him, the greater and greater he will be in your life." So maybe I should just say amen here and leave. But I'm compelled, you know, anytime clergy has a audience that's sitting down, they really don't know when to shut up. So I will try to do my best to limit this to at least 30 minutes. So our gospel lesson this morning is preceded by the parable of the mustard seed in verses 18 and 19 and the parable of yeast. Both of these parables compare the kingdom of God to an insignificant substance, a tiny seed and a bit of yeast. It turns out to have great power. The tiny seed grows into a tree, and the birds of the sky lodge in its branches. And a pinch of yeast leavens 3 measures of flour. Now, these parables provide the lead into the question, Lord, are there few who are saved? Well, there are several parallels in this gospel reading this morning in Matthew, and they're kind of scattered throughout Matthew's gospels, suggesting that this particular part of Luke is a collection of Jesus' teachings that Luke pulls together to make a point. There are about 7 parallels in Matthew. I'm only going to bore you with 3 of them. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. It's how narrow is the gate and restricted is the way that leads to life. Few are those who find it. Matthew 7:13-14. In Matthew 19:30. But many will be last who are first, and the first who are last. Matthew 20:16, something that we're all familiar with. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So in this chapter, the 13th chapter of Luke, we find Jesus on a journey to Jerusalem, teaching and preaching all along the way as he travels. A diverse crowd gathers around him, eager to hear his words and witness his miracles. Among the crowds are people from all levels and walks of life, the poor, the sick, the curious, and even the faithful followers of Jesus. The scene is set in a dusty town square. With the sun beating down on the crowds, they listen intently to Jesus' teaching. The atmosphere is charged with anticipation and wonder as Jesus speaks about the narrow door to salvation and the importance of striving to enter through it. But the crowd is of mixed emotion. Some are hopeful, some are skeptical, and others are simply curious about this man who speaks with such authority and wisdom. As Jesus continues to preach, he challenges the crowd to consider their own lives and the choices they are making. He warns them that not everyone who calls him Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, emphasizing the need for true repentance and faith. The scene is filled with tension as Jesus urges the crowd to strive for righteousness and to be prepared for the day when the door will be shut, separating those who are saved from those who are not. This gospel lesson urges us to reflect on the choices we make in our lives. The image of the narrow gate symbolizes the path of righteousness and truth, which may not always be easy to follow. This passage reminds us that living a life of integrity, humility, and compassion requires effort and dedication by encouraging all of us to strive to enter through the narrow gate. It challenges us to resist the temptation of easier, more self-serving paths that may lead us astray. Have you ever been torn between doing what is right and what's convenient? Raise my hand for most of us. You don't have to raise your hand. Someone will want to take our names. The verse reminds us that the road less traveled, though challenging, is the one that leads to fulfillment and spiritual growth. It prompts us, hopefully, to reflect on our actions and intentions, urging all of us to choose the path of righteousness, even when it's not popular, and especially when it's not easy. It asks us to consider what kind of legacy we want to leave behind and how we want to be remembered. So Jesus, on his journey to Jerusalem, imparts wisdom to those around him. When asked about the number of people who will be saved, he responds with a poignant parable about the narrow door to the kingdom of God. The phrase, strive to enter through the narrow door, underscores the active pursuit and dedication required for salvation, emphasizes that it's not a passive endeavor. Jesus warns us that despite many seeking entry, not all of us will succeed, highlighting the necessity of genuine commitment and righteousness is one's faith journey. The imagery of the master shutting the door signifies a decisive moment when the opportunity for salvation will cease, urging listeners to act promptly. Merely being in Jesus' presence or hearing his teachings is really insufficient for salvation. It calls for a deep, personal relationship with him, which is essential. The vivid description of weeping and gnashing of teeth portrays the regrets of those who realize too late that they missed their chance for redemption, serving as a stark warning against complicity. Now, the parallel passage in Matthew further emphasizes the challenging path to salvation and the need for readiness and vigilance, and the relevance of this message in today's world, which is filled with distractions, is striking. It calls for active engagement in our spiritual lives and a sincere commitment to seeking God. Procrastination, one of God's number one procrastination. I'll get it done maybe tomorrow, or maybe not. Or superficial faith may lead to missing opportunities for our salvation, echoing the urgency conveyed in Jesus' words. This passage from Luke serves as a compelling call to action, urging all of us to approach our faith with earnest effort and genuine commitment. It prompts, Jesus may be calling. Or maybe his father. I'm glad that could have been my phone. So it prompts introspection in our spiritual journey and challenges us to prioritize seeking Jesus and God wholeheartedly. Let us take to the heart of the urgency of this message, striving to enter to the narrow door of salvation with unwavering faith and dedication. According to our gospel lesson this morning, we can ensure we are chosen by God by striving to enter through the narrow door. This means we need to diligently seek God, live a life of faith, obedience, and especially repentance, in following his commandments and certainly studying his word. It emphasizes the importance of making a conscious effort to walk in the path of righteousness and to be mindful of each of our spiritual journeys. Hopefully, we align ourselves with His will and demonstrate our commitment to being chosen by Him by putting our trust in God and walking in His ways and surrendering our lives to Him. Furthermore, our gospel passage this morning, I'm almost finished, reminds us not to take our salvation for granted and to deeply commit ourselves to a genuine relationship with God. And this involves continual growth in faith, humility, and dedication to living a life that reflects the teaching and love of Christ. We can all demonstrate our desire to be chosen by God by living in accordance with His will and seeking a deep and personal connection with Him. So our gospel passage this morning encourages us to be persistent in our faith and to prioritize our relationship with God more than anything else. We demonstrate our readiness to be chosen by God by consistently, one, seeking Him, two, walking in His ways, and three, striving for spiritual growth. It's through our actions, our hearts, our devotion to living a life that honors and glorifies God, that we can ensure that we are among those who were chosen by Him. Reflecting on our gospel lesson hopefully pushes us to question our faith journey with Christ. It's time to move beyond surface level belief and embrace a sincere connection with God. Let us not settle for just mere proximity to Him. Let us actively pursue a profound understanding of His teaching and embody His values in our daily lives, as we are all prepared to commit to a deeper relationship with Christ and enter through that narrow door of spiritual growth. Amen.
Amen.